Today, we return to what Stephen talked about, the career and the journey of Moses. We all know that Prophet Moses led Israelites out of Egypt, and he was a prophet called by God. And he was the greatest prophet in Old Testament, but most importantly, who is Moses? Moses is actually a parallel of Jesus who is to come to save the sinners. When we talk about Moses, we saw how Moses was abandoned by his very own people, just like Jesus Christ was very abandoned by his own people. In Stephen's speech, he brought up some very objective truths about Moses. In the previous week, I mentioned Moses, even though he's great, he is just a mere human. He is flesh. He could be using humanistic method to save God's people, and he failed badly. So, for 40 years, he wandered in wilderness. However, after 40 years, today, the scriptures say, God appeared before Moses and called upon him. We know the calling of God is not within Moses' expectations or his will, but God, according to his own will, elect and call people to what they are going to do. A person who is born flesh, if he rely on his own passion and methods to serve God, he will surely fail. He must be called by God to be used by God as his holy vessel. If not, his own passion and his own flesh will only make things worse and will do things in a not productive way. We all are called by God. Being a Christian itself is a calling of God. Being a server, being a preacher, all are calling of God. Dear brothers and sisters, but very importantly, how God calls a person? Is it mere feelings? Is it a sudden vision you see at night? In today's scripture, we see how God called Moses. God introduced himself to him first. So very importantly, God wants us to know him. And through our knowledge of him, we know this God who called us. Only then can we submit to him. In the matter of God calling Moses, there are certain pointers about the attributes of God. Who is this God who calls people? Who is that God who calls people? Firstly, this God, he is a supernatural God. He appeared before people in a supernatural way. Today, likewise. But today, when I talk about supernatural, people thought supernatural is very mystical, and you must see some phenomenon, must have some phenomenon that appear. In church, a lot of people see some miracles, they still remain disbelief. We cannot just conclude this as supernatural because of those phenomena and miracles, because people's heart may not turn to God even, and they still remain carnal and pursuing the world, and they cannot submit to God. But we must know, when God appeared before a person supernaturally, his heart will change. The person cannot remain in this world and follow this world. And he can no longer remain in this disheartenment and discouragement. This is how God appeared before a person supernaturally? Have you experienced how God called upon you supernaturally? How God appeared before you supernaturally? When I talk to my younger son, because my younger son is not very well versed in spiritual things, so one day I call upon him. I say, have you ever asked why God wants to serve, why Father wants to serve the church? Why I work for the church? I have been educated in higher education. I can find a decent work outside. I can really prosper in life, in church. Because they grow up in pastoral family. They know how we are all involved in church matters. And there are so many menial tasks in church. Sometimes people don't understand us. Sometimes we work for the good of people, but people may not understand. And they have gotten used to how complex things are in church. I told him, why do I not work outside? He said, I don't know. Because it's the calling of God. When God calls upon me, it's not that you don't want to work for the world. It's you cannot anymore. Because the values have been revealed to you. Some miracle matters have been revealed to you. You were once blinded, but now you can see. So it's not something that you can just compare. I want him to understand. So do you understand? In the past, when I was in university, I studied political science. I have thought about working in the ministry office, and I can engage many people. But when you went there, if we go to these people, we go to this kind of work, this only work for the good of people and the nation. But you cannot work for the eternity of people and kingdom. This is not something you can parallel with the fame of the world and the worth and the value of what people see. Because when God calls upon us, this is supernatural and it comes upon our hearts. Your values and your ideologies all change. You see some spiritual things that people of the flesh cannot see. So this is the calling of God. You must know. When God appears before us supernaturally, our life will then change. A lot of times, we don't quite know this God. And the people of the world cannot accept this kind of God. Because they don't want to accept this supernatural God. What is the God that the people of the world wants? They want a God who can understand. They want a God that they can grasp. A God who submit to their desires and their methods. They don't want a God who has sovereignty and who works according to His sovereignty. They don't want a God who they cannot totally comprehend. We pursue God with a human-centered approach. If things are incompatible with the science or our rationale, we cannot accept. Has God not revealed to our rationale? If so, He will not put His words in the form of Bible to give us, so that we truly know Him. When we reject such revelation, it's because in our ignorance, we have rejected another attribute of God. And that is, this God is also a holy God. This is a holy God. God, people do not want a sovereign God. People do not want a God who they cannot totally understand. Because they also don't want a holy God. What is holiness? Holiness means different, set apart. The the God that people usually worship, the blessings that people usually want to get from God, no matter you are passionate in worshiping this kind of God, this is not the real God. Because the true God is not something that we can envision ourselves. Therefore, the Bible says He is God of all gods, King of all kings. He is holy. He is set apart. So when Moses came before God, God told him, take off your sandals because the place you stand is holy ground. This God is a holy God. It's not someone whom we choose to believe and not to believe, choose to serve and not to serve. A lot of people, when they serve God, they haven't realized. They bring a very common and carnal attitude. When they do the work of church, it's the same attitude they do the work for the world. When you serve God's church, it's, when you do the work for church, it's not something that's optional and do as and wish you please. If you use the attitude and mentality of the world to serve in church, you will fail. You may say, I never use and serve with the passion of man. The passion of man is something you cannot know. But when you reach a certain step, you can no longer walk. Because the passion of man, the human strength will be exhausted. If we are not relying on the great power of Holy Spirit, the endurance of Holy Spirit, and the love of Spirit, if we are not using this to serve, we will surely fail. We need to know the God whom we serve and worship. What is His attribute? The God whom we serve and the church that we serve, they are holy. No matter how Moses loved his people, no matter how great is Moses' love for his people, that love will be carnal and will fail. Because in that love, it's without holiness of God, without the truth of God. So people reject this supernatural God because they do not want to submit to this holy God. So for a person to serve God, you must first be consecrated. Your ideology and your heart mentality must be set apart. Whenever I lead the church, I really know it's different from working for the world. Towards God's people and towards the people of the world, it's so different. God loves His people. God has grace, has truth. Has grace and truth. This is holiness. Sometimes, but I see how people administer the church. I feel that the heart mentality is wrong. They need to be corrected. Because our God is a supernatural God. He has a supernatural method. And He revealed to our hearts. And He's also a holy God. And it's God who has compassion on His people. In the verses today, God hears His people's groaning. God hears our cries. No. Nobody can bully God's people. Nobody can ill-treat or oppress them. And then go against God's will. We cannot be too critical to God's people. For God has compassion on His people, their weaknesses. We must know how to cover. When they are insufficient, you fill up. That is something pleasing to God. Sometimes in church, we shouldn't judge each other with a sense of right or wrong. We should not judge too easily. We should use the truth to protect, to exhort, and to advise. We must see their helplessness. A person who serves God's church, no matter what you do, you must know. It's not about right or wrong. This is right, this is wrong. That person is real, this person is not real. Oftentimes, what you see, when you see something, your heart must have compassion. Because there's a lot of things you cannot judge yet. The matters of our heart, our inner hearts, when they are helpless, they may appear very strong. When they see God, they will humble down. When they see the help of God, they humble down. Sometimes we are very narrow-minded. And we are not using a holy eyesight. And you just use the mentality of the world to see our own people in church. This is not holy. How do you see God's people? You use a holy sight to see God and how God called upon you to serve His very own people. So a Moses called by God, he knows God's supernaturality. He knows God's holiness. He knows God's compassion. And he becomes such a precious vessel of God. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Today we see 5 verses. And we meditate the theme surrounding it. Chapter 7 verse 30. There are mysteries in this verse 30. Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, in a flame of fire in a bush. In this verse alone, it tells us how God appeared before Moses in 3 areas. Firstly, after 40 years, God appeared to Moses. Secondly, God appeared to Moses in the desert near Mount Sinai in the flames of a burning bush. And the scripture is much emphasis on all these details. And you think through why the scripture recorded it this way. Let's ask. After 40 years, God appeared to Moses. Why 40 years? Why not 5 years? Why not 10 years? Time is a great instrument used by God. Through test of time, we all come to one point. We know how fickle-minded and helpless we are and how subjective we are. What is our greatest issue? We believe what we want to believe. You ask yourself, what is your greatest problem? You believe what you want to believe when you are stubborn. You say you don't believe what people say. You don't believe in other inputs. You hold on to what you believe and think. Are you that God? You realize that actually you are changed from past week and this week. So we change our plans so easily. When our environment change, when our kids are young, when they grow up, they have their own input. You change with him. A lot of times, our fickle-mindedness is just, it can change within a day. Just that we don't see ourselves in the mirror. We only see other people. Other people change. You don't even realize how you are also changing. We ourselves, oftentimes, why God cannot use us? Because of our stubbornness, our flesh, our human-centered passion, human-centered righteousness. All these things are so hard up and cannot change. It's not that you cannot change. You only grasp onto certain things that you held strongly about. That very thing. God that is not pleased and you don't want to change. So God give you the test of time. Give you the test of time. Slowly, you are being humbled down. You are humbled down through time. Then you can hear the voice of God and you can be used by God. When I was 26 years old, I served God. Now, I'm 45 years old. For 19 years that I served God. Through this time, the way I see things, I see people's weakness, I see myself, I have changed. So 40 years have passed. God's, Moses' self-centeredness, self-ideology have been humbled down. So whenever I advise you, don't make fun with God because you do not have many 40 years in life. When he writes Psalms 90, Moses said, Lord, teach us number our days so that we have the heart of wisdom. Sometimes, our problem is not that we don't know we will change. We are not humbled down. When we are humbled, even I myself detect that I'm always shaking. I'm influenced by people's words and environment, but I need to humble down. Humble down before God. Humbled before the word of God. Tell me. Maybe yesterday I decided to do this. But if today you ask me to do this, I must submit. You must be a vessel usable by God. For 40 years, Moses had once thought he could accomplish great things himself. But through 40 years, God humbled him. And God used him then. So time. If year after year you are humbled down, God is doing great things in your life. This is greater than any miracles. And another thing, how God appeared to Moses in the desert near Mount Sinai. Everyone who visited Israel wants to go and find Mount Sinai. Some people say this mountain is Mount Sinai, that mountain is Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. Why so special? Because on the Mount Sinai, God gave His 10 commandments to His people. And on that very place, He established a covenant with His people. But here now, where Moses is, God haven't given the law. But on this Mount Sinai, what God emphasized, this place is very holy because God has come here to find Moses. And it's also a place where Moses frequent. So the church leaders, they all focus about law and temples. But what Stephen wanted to say, when God come and find Moses, it's not in the temple. God went to a place where Moses often go, Mount Sinai. We often restrict the invisible with the visible. We often use the limited to limit the limitless God. Therefore, we cannot see the supernatural God. Therefore, we continue to venture into mysticism, visions, feelings, flames. We human cannot see the invisible thing and God, and we do not want to believe in the invisible thing. Therefore, you cannot have the supernatural experience. Because our hearts are hardened. We do not believe in the truth that is revealed to us. We always use our limited experience and knowledge to know God. God go to Mount Sinai where Moses often go. And God appeared to Moses through the burning bush, the flames of a burning bush. Why is this burning bush? It gives up light. It exposes the darkened heart. And this burning bush can refine. But these flames of a burning bush means it's not to burn the physical things. When the holy fire of God comes, it's to burn away all our carnality and it's to refine our hearts. So the appearance of God is not an external phenomenon and it's to renew our hearts. Firstly, the test of time, 40 years in the space is on the Mount Sinai and through the burning bush, the flames of a burning bush. So all these are very much detail. Let's continue to read on. Verse 31. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. This thing, how will people who doesn't believe in God and angels or demons believe in what this has been seen by Moses? No matter how good our theory is, we cannot change a person's heart. Your children's heart is not something you can change. Your own heart, your helpless heart, you also cannot do anything about it. If you only believe in science, you cannot explain how an 80-year-old Moses, how he brings such a huge crowd out of Egypt and stay in this wilderness for 40 years. If you want to believe in science, these are all absurd. Now we believe in science and thus we weaken the truth of God. Because now we believe in human psychology, positivity. The people of the world always look for all these things. You will never be able to explain how this gospel can be spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. You cannot explain how a 40-year-old Pharisee, in the climax of his career, and hated Christian much, how this person can suddenly change and be the great apostle of God and be the greatest apostle. You cannot explain the life of Paul. Is this positivity? Is it motivational? Is it Paul being motivated by so many things? Can we explain in this way? No. The people of the world always think you need to have benefits, you need to have fame, you need to have wealth to give this person so that he can do this and that and serve. But all these are human-centeredness. And people are being deceived into it and they work for the momentary benefits. One who is called by God, his heart has changed when he sees this world. He knows that this is a passing world. When he sees the eternal kingdom, he longs towards that. No matter how much you give him, he will not trade it with the matter of the kingdom of God. This is not explainable by human psychology or motivational talks. This is a matter of being called by God, being elected by God. The fact that you can sit here is the miracle of God. On Sunday, why do you not want to go out with your family and friends or work extra to get more? Of course, some of us are lazy, we come to church. Perhaps, yes, but some people see that value. 9:30, I set apart the time to come to church. When we hear the truth, our hearts are changed. Without this Sabbath, the whole week just pass on like that. How glorious work of God is in our lives. So this is supernatural, incomprehensible. We cannot explain. God give us knowledge, but don't use our own narrow-mindedness to restrict the work of God. When Moses see the flames, the burning flames in the bush, when he saw that, and as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Our God, when he drew Moses near him, it's not just to see something, it's to... It's because God wants to talk to him. Our God talked to his people. He introduced himself to his people. Why did he introduce himself? Because he knows. Our mind needs to know him. When we know him, our heart can be connected and be drawn near to him. So God introduced himself. I'm the Father. I'm the God of your father. the father of Abraham, Isaac, and the father of Jacob. What does that mean? When God called upon Abraham, he made a covenant with him, and he made a covenant with all his people. This is to say, he's to say, I'm the God who elects people and who make covenant with people. When he made covenant with his people, he also kept on to his covenant. But these people, God kept his covenant. But we, when we are so narrow-minded, after some time, what God has once told us, we might have forgotten. We never put inside our hearts. Our eyesight is on our own problems, our feelings, and we live on our human centeredness, and we weaken easily. So for 400 years, Israelites do not see the revelation of God. To them, right, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, these are all foreign to them. But when God appeared to Moses, he said, I'm the God who made covenant with your ancestors, and now I want to fulfill that covenant. And Moses trembled, and he dared not look. Why? You must understand, what is our Christian faith? In the church today, the God that people introduce in church is not like that. The God who loves you, he is a God whom you can draw near to, he's your friend. We always introduce God through the attribute of love. But when God appeared before Moses, Moses is trembled. And he dare not look. Is it because this is Old Testament? People may say, in Old Testament it's like that, but in New Testament it's happy, joyous when you see God. Who say so? When God called Peter, when God come to Peter and called him, Peter knelt down and bowed down. God, depart from me. I'm a sinner. I cannot. When they see a holy God, the sinfulness and the dirt that's exposed out, that we will be even ashamed by ourselves because our God is a holy God. So, dear brothers and sisters, you know what is the problem of the church? Church doesn't want to talk about the holiness of God. They want to talk about the grace of God. If you don't talk about the holiness of God and you only talk about the grace of God, that is not a real God that, of the Bible. People who often hear about the grace of God without the holiness of God, their life cannot grow. Because our greatest problem is we undermine grace. We really undermine grace easily. You may think you will not, but we are doing that every day. We look at the things around us. Why do we commit sins? Why do we sin? Why do we leave ourselves to depravity? Because we undermine the grace of God. We who have children, when you mingle with your kids, why do you struggle with kids? You struggle about their phones. If your phone, when they grow up, you tell them cannot touch the phone. If I give you that, only you can use. When you give is grace. Oh, then he cherishes it very much. And then he only uses judiciously. If you don't put on principles, he will just take as and when he likes. And then if you try to stop, he cannot already because for a whole month he has been using it this way. And he will fight with you. Because he has been so used to playing the phone and he no longer treats that as grace. In the beginning, the phone is under your purview. But now, when your children do not regard that as grace and treat it as of right. You see, when you don't give him, he will act like a demon. This is a common human nature. The greatest problem of man is undermining the grace of God. God gives us a great grace, but we undermine it. We take it lightly. So when you know Christ, you must know the holiness of God. Because of his holiness, you see your own ugliness. And then you see that actually God has so much mercy on you. God gives you grace again and again. Therefore, you can come before God boldly. So may God's grace fuel you. This should be the standard procedure of our faith. Every time when we come before God, we must be come with a child identity. But we really value God's holiness in His holiness. And we really thankful of His grace. I can explain it such, but when you pray with God, when you draw near to God, you cannot just say your Abba Father in a very childlike way. If your relationship with God is just very soft, you will not be strengthened. You will not have fear and reverence and work out your salvation. I don't know how is your relationship with God. I know our relationship with God can be easily influenced by the truth we listen. After I understand the gospel, there are certain sermons I cannot listen. I will say, if some people, if the sermon has preached God's attribute very tailored to our human needs, this will not bring you to obedience to God, but it is making you want to change God or twist His arms, and you'll be all the more let loose. Your Christian faith will go wayward. Maybe you can say, I see the world, why I cannot love the world? Because you don't have a sense of holiness. You don't have the sense of setting apart. You see money and wealth and fame. You see people's recognitions of you. You say you want all this. Yes, easily we want this. But when you know a holy God, it will affect your heart. When you pray to God, what you ask for are different. And then you will know, after knowing a holy God, whether what you pursue, are you set apart? It's not a problem of Old Testament. It's not that Moses represent law and then Jesus represent grace. It's not just that. In dispensationalism, they often put the Bible in this way. Old Testament and New Testament, they are so different. But they are the same God. They are holy God. They have righteousness and love and mercy. But you must truly know Him and follow Him and serve Him. So here it's very clear. Let's continue reading. Verse 33. Then the Lord said to him, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. What is a holy ground? Why is it a holy ground? Because holy God is at that place and revealed to him there. But God is everywhere. But when God comes upon a place and reveals to a person, when God calls upon a person, the first thing we must know, God wants the person to know that He's a holy God. If this God is a holy God, His calling is also holy. If He called the person himself is holy. Wherever you are, whatever conditions you have, the things that you are going to embark on, they are all holy, they are all consecrated. If we just take it lightly and thought that this is just a religious views, and you will just take the calling of God very lightly. And so, as a Christian, or as a church leader, or as an elder, as a deacon, as a pastor, you will just take things lightly. And this church will become a very unconsecrated church. And people can choose to come as and when they wish. They can serve as and wish they want. This is a way how we have taken the holiness of God lightly. Of course, in serving. We see some co-workers have real challenges. Their family is sick or their children are still young. They tell pastor, hey, momentarily I cannot. I can understand. Our church has mercy. We will see the practical situations and what the person can go through. If for a moment that person needs to take leave, we can understand, but we must be clear with the holiness of God. And the work that God entrusted to us is holy work. And the people whom God asked us to take care of, they are holy people. And the operating of the church, etc., God demands from us. We cannot do it anyhow. This is a view that I want to give all our church. We cannot be only serious in the world and in the matter of God's house, and we just anyhow. Because the Lord looks into our hearts. Sometimes, some people, when they arrange the chairs, they do the sound system, and they fulfill some responsibility. They value it much. Praise the Lord. You know that this person, he is not only answerable to pastor, but he's also answerable to God. I'm really grateful for such co-workers. Because he go and think how he wants to lead the people of God, the people whom God has entrusted to him. In Old Testament, the holiness of God is so much revealed. Moses, when he's being called by God, he tried to debate with God, "Don't call me, I don't have all these good attributes." And he reject God, and God still come to him. When God calls a person, you cannot resist, and you go. So Moses went, because God called you, ma. So I'm human, I have to listen. When he go, he anyhow go. And he go unwillingly. There will be problems. When he go unwillingly, in chapter 4, we read about, in Exodus 4, like God wants to kill him, and then he was shocked. "Oh, I was just called by God. Now God wants to kill me." Then Zipporah, his wife, circumcised his son and put the foreskin on the feet of his on his feet. And then only God let him go. What did it all mean? What is circumcision? It's the promise that God has given to Abraham, your descendants, those whom you buy with your money, you must circumcise them. Means you must be consecrated. You have such an important calling of God, and then you are supposed to save Israelites, and you even forgot about circumcision. You just treat it as a task and get it over and done with. God will want to kill him. God will want to kill you if you serve God in such mentality. A lot of things that you do will bring problems. Why? Why so much problems? Because you have not been circumcised. Your heart has not been set apart to do the work of God. God is not really wanting to kill Moses. But at that time, when God's righteous anger is out, is to tell him something. Because you have not set apart. You are not consecrated. Every time when you read Old Testament, you feel that this God is very scary, right? But this God is also a compassionate God. If God really wants to ask us to pay all our debts, none of us can stand. When God exhibits his righteous anger towards us, it's for us to come to repentance. So this heart of setting apart. So we value God's work. We be careful. We remember this is God's holy work. God calls us to do. So I have asthma for the past few weeks. Now I'm okay. Everything returned to normalcy. That time, because I treat the work entrusted to me as holy work. If I have to preach 2 times, 3 times, it's very important. I have breathlessness on Saturday. So if Sunday I can stand on stage to preach, I will do it. When I do it like that, in the afternoon, I know I cannot. because I value the work entrusted to me as consecrated work. And this is also my inheritance. So when I want to entrust it to other people, I also have reservation. It's not because I'm great. We are made from flesh. When we are unwell, we don't feel like doing anything. You just want to stay at home and rest. But strangely, you have this sense of holiness. You know this is a holy calling. You know that you need to accomplish the mission entrusted to you for that week. So often I share with you, if God gives you a ministry, you treat it as your inheritance, whether it's leading youth, pray for their lives, pastor them, may you lead the youth or the elderly or the women ministry, think about them, meditate. When God put them into your hands, they may have a lot of time left. Sometimes they are left with very little time. How do you take care of them? If you are leading the music ministry, ushering ministry, or even music ministry, use a heart that is set apart. Put your heart into those matters. It's not just task completion and not just relax after that. Though God is leading, He wants His people. Join Him, partner Him, join Him in what He is trying to accomplish. God wants His people, God wants His servant to understand His heart and not using your own human passion when we serve God. Why is this holy work? Why God revealed to Moses? Because it's a holy ground. I'm a holy God. So that his heart can be set apart. If you are not consecrated, you'll be killed. Therefore, Moses is humbled down. You need to be circumcised. When you receive such a heart, then he's being sent. Only then he can accomplish great things of God. There are so many aspects about the calling of God. You might have heard of it a lot of times. But I want to talk about it very, very meticulously. As Christians, as we be a parents, you can be anyhow. So that you just make sure your kids grow up. This is a very carnal thought. So as if when they are grown up, then you'll be relaxed after that. But if that's your mentality, you have problems as well. But as we grow children, we pass on the promises of God. We correct Him. We discipline. We ask the Word of God. We use the Word of God to explain to them. You cannot skip all these steps because it's difficult. And then you entrust this duty to the Sunday school teachers. You cannot do that. If you do so, you might think that they go Sunday school, but they grow up not liking church. Because in your teaching, you are not set apart. You never do according to the truth of God. But if you do according to the truth of God, they still do not listen. You have this peace and assurance. This child has been raised up according to the instructions of God. God Himself will discipline the child. You will not be shaken in your heart. A lot of people, their mood go up and down with their kids. And we know that there are certain parents are always influenced by the kids. It's not that. It's the failure lies in he is not being influenced by the Word of God. A child, no matter how he grows up, he will have a life that he has to walk. He has his own personality. He has a road that God will carry him through. He can change. But you, when you root yourself in the Word of God and you raise him in the Word of God, you will not be changed. Some people can be strengthened. It's not because they can be strong. Because they root themselves in the unshakable Word of God. When I pastor some of you, I know certain things. I see the mom. When they come to me, sometimes they just want the good of their children. Or is she interested to know what God asked a parent to do in raising the children? I know there's hope if it's the second. But if the mother just want the children to turn good, I know the children will not turn better, 100%. In my pastoral experience, I know if you just want a change of circumstances or behavior or problems, it will not do them good. When God let you know what is calling, every single condition of your life upon becoming a Christian, whether you eat or drink, is for the glory of God. No matter what you do, whether you work as a parent or anything, you are called by God. Verse 34. My parents, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. There are two areas here. Firstly, from the sovereignty of God, since Genesis 15, God already told Abraham, your people will be enslaved for 400 years. After that, God will save them. 400 years ago, it was prophesied. It's the sovereignty of God. It's also ordained by God. So we must see things from the sovereign point of view of God. When this timing has reached, this means that God is a God who listens to the groaning of His children and He responds to His people. God saw the afflictions of His people and their groanings. So our understanding of God, we felt that He's very distant. Or He can be very transcendent. He cannot be understood. He has ordained all things. Yes, He is so. He is sovereign in all that He decreed. But another aspect is, when you see such a God, He's also an immanent God. He knows our problems, our difficulties, knows our needs. He hears our cries. To this understanding of God, we revere Him because He is transcendent, but because He's immanent, He hears our cries and prayers. We must balance our views of God correctly. I see their afflictions, God say. They have been enslaved for 400 years. Is it that God only sees it now? We must understand the scripture from our understanding of God. In Exodus chapter 2, His people groaning and pray to God. Their groaning has reached God. Although they are enslaved for 400 years, when we see these 400 years, when God allowed them to be in this dire state, it means that why God did not deliver them earlier? Because He has ordained it. We might say so. We just throw this responsibility to God. Maybe these 400 years, they are still happy, they are second-class citizens, but they are still okay in Egypt. Unless you have place to stay, do you have food? We sometimes can be like this if Israelites in Egypt. We thought that things can still go through. Until you cannot. Until you have reached your limit, you reach your end, you realize in this carnal world, there's no hope. There's nothing that's meaningful than the saving of the souls of God, God's people. Through trials and failures, a person, think back, actually, the salvation, what's so precious about this salvation? It's not to make me have one foot in the world, one foot in God's kingdom. There will be no bliss in it. This is bondage. But if you have not come to this conclusion. God will not force you. God also not force his people. In these 3 years of pandemic, I'm not sure whether God has brought his people to the end, but I see something. I see a lot of people of God's church start pursuing the truth. After the pandemic is, I'm going towards Malaysia. A few days ago, I heard that Taiwan will open up in September. September is another mission field. Next month, I will go to Penang. Because two churches are combining. You have probably saw my poster. Yesterday, I already know there are 60 applicants registering for that conference. In this closing of this pandemic, I realize that God is convicting me to really harvest and really strengthen his own church. And so I asked the church leaders to ask the people, is it good that I go to Malaysia? But you say that if I have decided, why do I ask? I ask is because I respect you all. Sometimes when the church was smaller then, I can just leave. But when I went to Penang, the church was just 50 members here. So I went and come back. Now the church has 300 plus people. I know that God teaches us to be mutually submitting to each other. I am okay if you write to me if you do have certain reservations, because I do want to understand what is our spirituality like. If you have certain insights into things, you can actually feedback to me. Although I'm leading as pastor, but we are a mutually submissive relationship. If I want to do something, if a lot of us have against objections, do let me know. Let me pray through it again. When the church becomes bigger, I have rethought a lot of biblical principles. And some I will respect your feedback. If you are willing to support me, meaning that you are also praying along with our mission duty and our evangelical approach. So this is really about sowing and reaping. Lastly, and God told Moses, "You come, I will send you to Egypt. Come." Means you need action already. Actionable is required. You cannot just have conviction, you must have actionable. So after you have conviction, you must do it. That is true belief. When you do it, you realize you need to. So when you are being asked for a commitment, then you learn to balance out and weigh what is the commitment required. If you are always being convicting, it's like you're writing a check and then no signature with it. So in the end, when an action is required, after telling Moses, who is he? Who is this God? And God told him, come, I send you to Egypt. So after God has given his word, he will send people out. Send you to your fields and accomplish his work. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. You teach and exhort us with your word. Very important. We need to have a clear understanding of God's calling. Today, you let us know we are all called. We are all called in Christ. We are being called by this gospel. And none of us who are called can live for ourselves anymore. You are already reigning in our throne. Although we can succumb to weaknesses and be helpless, but all thanks to God, you continue to awaken us with your truth. You continue to illuminate us with your Holy Spirit and convict us. Sometimes we are in a sleep. We are in a daze. But God, we thank you. You once again. Let us understand that our life is so short. We must number our days so that we have a heart of wisdom. And we must treasure the time given, that remaining time that's given us. We truly need to accomplish the task that is entrusted to us so that all brothers and sisters can value and emphasize on the mission and the holy work that's entrusted to us and participate in the holy work of God. We give you thanks, God. You give us a heart that is glorious in serving you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.